Wonderful. So, guys, we're busy with a series at the moment called Obedience, and it's not the most popular topic around, is it? When we hear obedience, we're like, oh, goodness, it's a bit of an expletive. But when we look in the Bible, it's everywhere. And in fact, maybe part of the reason why there are folk who are disenchanted with the church and who look upon God maybe not with the fondest thoughts is because there are people who say they believe in God, yet their lives show a disconnect. And there's a degree of hypocrisy there. And so as a community, we want to be absolutely committed to ensuring that we walk the talk, that we come and we embody those who not only say that we are Christ followers, but we embody it in our lives. We need to not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word too. We need to be authentic and sincere in that, and we need to come and present that to not just to people around us, but we need to come and do that as an act of worship before God. And so it's my privilege to welcome what I call, or who I call, Reverend Heavens to the stage. Brian, it's great to have you on stage. We're looking forward to it.
Amen. Good morning. Goeiemôre, Sanbonani. All three official languages. The other nine languages I can't remember. But just before I start, just watching the baby being dedicated this morning. We don't have grandchildren yet. We throw out big hints, but they haven't come yet. And so the young couple next door, they own a restaurant, and so they asked us if yesterday we would babysit for them. And so we had this 7-month-old baby, and he's just crawling and he's learning to walk. And wow, what a hectic day! Sure. I tell you what, we changed two nappies. Thank God it wasn't a dirty nappy. You know, my kids were born years ago, so I've forgotten about that. So yeah, by God's grace, they eventually, 4 o'clock, they picked up the baby and we just collapsed. Wonderful. But anyway, it's a wonderful privilege to be here and to preach the word of God. It's exciting, and we're talking about the obedience of Christ. And with the opposite to obedience is disobedience. And just looking at Scripture, the disobedience that came into the world was long before Adam and Eve. And it's amazing that disobedience started in heaven. There was a beautiful angel called Lucifer, the morning star, that was one of the chief angels in heaven. And this angel was beautiful, powerful, but his beauty and his power went to his head, and he disobeyed the order of heaven and rebelled against God, and was thrown out of heaven with a third of the angels. And we're going to read from Ezekiel 28 this morning, if it's up there. You, Lucifer, morning star, were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone ordained you. Ruby, topaz, emerald, crystallite, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, an angel, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked amongst the fiery stones. You were blameless in all your ways from the day you were created until wickedness was found in you. I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from amongst the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. Isn't that something incredible? God created angels, but he created them with a free will. We read in Isaiah 14, again, how have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn? You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend upon the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. And so when Lucifer rebelled against God, it was the first incident of disobedience that entered into the world. And he was thrown out of heaven, and Lucifer became Satan, the deceiver, the adversary. He became an evil, evil force in the world. And a third of his angels were cast out with him as well. And he became the father of disobedience. This was before Adam and Eve. Luke 10 verse 18 says, Jesus said he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He's cast into the earth. And so he's now ruling in the earth. But he still has the powers that he has, but now they are demoniac powers. Now they are evil, and he's hell-bent on destroying the earth. In 2 Corinthians 11, we read that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, the master of deception, the master of disobedience. You know, the Oxford Dictionary describes disobedience as a disregard to orders, breaking the rules, rebellious, defiant, insubordinate, unruly, and contrary. And so disobedience came into the earth through Lucifer, who became Satan. Enter Adam and Eve. They were created in the likeness and image of God, and they lived in paradise, and they had tremendous authority given to them to rule over the earth. But God required one thing from them. He said, you can eat of everything that's in the garden, but one thing you cannot eat of is of the fruits of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in that day you eat of it, you will die. And of course, we know that that Satan came along, the big deceiver in the form of a serpent. And you see, Adam and Eve had the ability to make a choice. God didn't create robots in heaven or on the earth. He said, I've created you in my likeness and my image, but I want you out of your free will to serve me and to love me. Adam's disobedience resulted in mankind being cut off from a relationship with God. We know that Lucifer, Satan said to Eve, if you eat of the tree, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you won't die, but you will become like God. You will know good and evil. In heaven, he wanted to become like God. And so he wanted to deceive mankind by telling them that they can become like God, the big deceiver. You know what? Sin entered into the world, and it was imputed to us. It was put upon us. We don't have a choice. We become as we are born and as we grow up, the sin nature is within us. You know, what are the examples of disobedience? Tell me, any hands, put up your hands if you never ever go over the speed limit. Anyone here? We have a lie detector in that thing. We'll You can come there afterwards. How many of you never speak on your phone while you're driving your car? Oh, there's some angels here. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? Sydney was driving in his car on his phone, and he rode into the back of another car. Just by the way, hey. Hey, Sydney, hey. Now, that's true story. True story, okay. You know, that stubbornness and that disobedience starts when we are young. We were on leave up in the Lowveld, and we were talking to a lady whose daughter is now 3 years old, and she absolutely rules the roost. She just tells her parents no. When they ask her to do something, she says no. And she needs a jolly good hiding, but you can't do that anymore today, can you? Because you'll be accused of child abuse. But this child, and then they say, well, you know, and they, oh, we're going to the shopping center and we hope that she behaves herself. My giddy aunt, I tell you what. When I was small, I tell you what, I got such a hiding. I couldn't sit down for a week, you know, and I survived, you know. The disobedience. Every parent will know that your children go through stages where they don't want to do what you want them to do. And it's that sin nature, it's that disobedience that's in them. You never taught them to be disobedient. They are just disobedient. Everybody said amen. But you know, God had to do something about the situation. And right throughout the Old Testament, we see how he required a blood sacrifice to be made for the forgiveness of sins, for the remission of sins. And so there was this sacrifice that had to be made. But thank God, enter the second Adam. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15, we read, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. That was Jesus. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual. The first man, Adam, was of the dust of the earth. The second, Jesus, from heaven. As the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as in the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we are born in the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. So just as we have the nature of Adam in us, so when Jesus Christ came and we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we can have the likeness of heaven in us. In Romans 5 verse 12, we read, for if by the trespass sin of one man, death reigned through one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. Wonderful, isn't it? We have disobedience and we have obedience. On the one hand, we have all the chaos and the destruction and the lies and the deceit of the enemy as Satan has come and he's taken a hold of people and he's driven them into addictions and all sorts of stuff. In the same way, Jesus Christ came. Amen. He came and he died on the cross. And so he became obedience. He was obedient to the Father. And so we have the obedience of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ's obedience, we are made righteous. Amen. In Hebrews 5 verse 7, we read, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submissions. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Just stop there. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. When Jesus was born and he came into the world, he came in as a man. And he was sinless, the Bible says, but he had to learn obedience. And once made perfect, that is completeness in maturity when he grew up, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And so Jesus came and he lived on the earth. He was subject to the same temptations and the problems and the hassles of everybody else around him. But he was without sin. And he came and he learned obedience. He learned to be obedient. In Philippians 2 verse 5, we read, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the very nature of a servant, being in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death of the cross. Jesus was totally obedient to God. That was his dominant principle, his obedience to the Father. And we read it in Scripture. John 8, I want you to, as you read these Scriptures, I want you to get a revelation of the power of obedience. Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who has sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. I always do what pleases him. That is, you see, if we're going to serve a Lord, a God, if we're going to serve Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's got to be credibility, amen. There's got to be a concrete foundation upon which we believe. In John 5, verse 30, by myself, Jesus said, I can do nothing. I judge only what I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. The cost of his obedience was massive. Was absolutely massive. I mean, you go back to when he was born. I mean, the people believed that he was born out of wedlock. They called him a bastard. His parents, Joseph and Mary, they had to suffer all sorts of ridicule and that. And he grew up, and he wasn't like, although he worked and he went to school and he studied, he didn't do what the others did. He didn't succumb to peer pressure. He stayed pure. And then, of course, he comes to the cross. Gethsemane was the culmination of his obedience with a full view of the awesome terribleness, the ugliness of the cross of Calvary. He came and he said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. You know, if Jesus had got to that point and decided, hang on, this is enough. I'm not taking any more rubbish from these people. He could have called legions of angels down and they could have wiped out that whole city and the Roman Empire and whatever. But you know what? Our salvation would mean nothing today. Our faith would be in vain. It had to take the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ to the will of the Father to come and die on the cross for us. The object of Christ's obedience was threefold. First of all, as an example to show us what true obedience was. You know, I think we have degrees of obedience, don't we? We decide, well, we'll we'll obey the speed limit if we know that if there's a speed trap down the road, you know, and the cops don't see us. Or we'll do a certain thing as long as we don't get caught out. You know, it's all fine. It doesn't matter. God understands. And there's this measure of obedience. It's like one chap said to me, I said to these folk, we were joking, and I said to them, you know, these Indian brothers, my pastor colleagues when I was on the South Coast, and I was joking with them. I said, you know, you Indian fellas, I said, you wheel and deal, you know. So they laughed. They said, you know what, we're honest, but we don't go crazy about it. We're honest up to a point, you know. And how many of us are like that? Come on, let's be true, eh? But you know what, Jesus was the supreme example. And we know with our children, if they are obedient and they do what we want them to do, we want to bless them. We want to go the extra mile for them. We want to give them that thing that they really want. But if they're disobedient and they're naughty and they give us a hard time, well, we don't feel like doing that. We still love them, but they don't get the rewards that they could have got. Secondly, the obedience of Christ was our surety of to fulfill the righteousness in us, our surety. His obedience, the fact that he died on the cross and he died for our sins, is our surety that we can walk in righteousness. Amen. You can say amen. Amen. You can come and throw money up here. You can do whatever you want to do. Only a joke, okay? All right. And then as our head, to prepare a new and obedient nature to impart to us. Jesus, the head of the church. We are the bride. He is the bridegroom. He is the head of the church. And that is our surety and our concrete foundation that he is the head of the church and he is our Lord and Savior. You know, talking about obedience, I was very blessed to hear after we had done this series on the blessed life, and we dealt with tithing and offering, we dealt with giving, that the last 2 months after we've had our series, our income has gone up by more than 25%. Isn't that amazing? And that's beside all the money that was given to the outreaches to Madagascar and to Zimbabwe. Thank you very much. You know what? As we are obedient and as we respond to the word of God, so we are blessed and the kingdom of God is blessed. Amen. And we can now take that extra income that's come in that's over budget, and we can now we can use it to spread the gospel, amen, beyond our borders. Praise the Lord. At conversion, the righteousness is given by faith, once and for all, completely and forever, but with little or no knowledge of the obedience. But as the righteousness is indeed believed in, as we believe in it and submit to it, and its full dominion over us as servants of righteousness, it will open up to us a blessed nature of Jesus, born out of a life of obedience. Amen. So when we become saved and we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our spirit becomes alive to God. We can now worship him in spirit and in truth because God is spirit. But we've got to learn to be obedient. We've got to learn to obey the word of God. As we study the word and as we go through the discipleship course and the first foundations, and as we grow and mature in God, so our obedience grows because we understand the incredible importance of obeying God. Jesus set an example for us to live our lives. In Christ, disobedience was a life principle. It wasn't just something that he did now and again. It became a lifestyle. And we have to embrace a lifestyle of obeying God, obeying his word, doing what he wants us to do. And then it was obedience with a joy. And the Bible says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, even though when Jesus was in Gethsemane and he was sweating drops of blood and he was agonizing, and he said, Father, please, if we can just bypass this, but not my will, your will be done. He could see beyond that. He could see the victory that would come, not only with his death, but with his resurrection. Amen. Because Jesus was there from the beginning of the world with the Father. He knew. The Bible says we were saved before the foundation of the world. And so Jesus comes now, and he can see the incredible joy that it's going to bring you and I as we come into relationship with Jesus. So the joy set before him. And then obedience led to a waiting on the Father God's will. God did not reveal all his will to Jesus. He was a man on this earth. He was God-man. And so he went and he prayed. He went into the mountains and he prayed. He spent hours and hours in prayer. And he prayed to the Father. And the Father revealed a bit more of his will and a bit more of his will. And you know, as we trust God and as we walk in obedience to him, God will reveal His will to us. Amen. God will show us. He will unfold His plan for us. He doesn't, you know, someone said, oh, you know, if God can just show me now the husband or the wife I'm going to marry in 5 years' time. Well, maybe you, if God did show you, you would run away, you know. What you know now, of course, you know. But you know what? We don't know everything. Thank God we don't know what's happening next year or the year after. Amen. But God will show us as we go. Amen. God will reveal to us. He will lead us and guide us not to make that move, not to go into business with that person, not to immigrate or whatever or whatever you want to do. Because God's got a plan for your life. Not to say that you can't immigrate, okay? All right? But I'm just saying, if it's not God's will, then stay. If it is God's will, then go. And then obedience was unto death. Jesus was totally obedient to God's will that he died on the cross and he paid the supreme sacrifice. And you know what? We've got to die to ourselves. We've got to die to R. The middle letter of the word sin is R. And that R destroyed Lucifer because he rose up in his pride, his arrogance, and he thought he was greater than God. And so he became Satan. And you and I, we need to daily look at ourselves, daily say, Lord, I need to die to this thing. This is not of you. And as we grow in our faith and as the gifts of the Spirit work in our lives, and the fruit of the Spirit works in our lives, so we have God's ability to and His power to resist. And then His obedience sprang from the deepest humility. We read that in Philippians 2. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I tell you what, if you want to make life miserable for yourself, if you want to end up in a train smash, carry on in pride and arrogance, and it'll destroy you. But as we submit ourselves to God and we say, Lord, I submit to your will and I want to do what you want me to do, God gives us the power to resist the enemy and he flees. And then obedience was of faith. Jesus' entire dependence was upon the Father's strength. He said, I can do nothing of myself. My Father that dwells in me does the work. Jesus said, I can't do anything. I rely totally on the Father. I've got to trust Him. I've got to have faith in Him. And you and I, we've got to walk by faith. Amen. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And there's no guarantees out there tomorrow or the next day, but we walk by faith. Trusting God that He's able, what we've committed to Him, He's able to keep until that day. The yielding of ourselves up to God will become the entrance into the blessed experiences of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to submit. Lord, I'm tired of just doing my own thing. Frank Sinatra sang, I did it my way. And you know what? You do it your way and not God's way, there's going to be groot moeilikheid. Yeah. Let us give our all to God, and He will work His all in us. Philippians 2 again, the result of Christ humbling Himself to the obedience of the death of the cross was this. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him a name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Isn't God great? Amen. You know, as you begin to get into this series on obedience and you begin to understand the power of obedience and the power of obedience in Jesus Christ and what He did for us, we can be so assured of our faith. That God is a God of righteousness and peace and joy. Amen. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Ask the worship team to come up. And let's just for a moment just look into our hearts today. Maybe we can really be honest with ourselves and look and see what is your status as far as disobedience and obedience is. And we can become bitter and we can become resentful because of the hard knocks of life. And we can blame God for things that have gone wrong. But you know what? It's never God's fault. It's our attitude. It's our attitude towards Him. It's our attitude towards people. It's our attitude towards life. And God wants us to come into that place where we can humbly come before Him and say, Lord, I want to commit my life to You. I want to accept You as my Lord and Savior. I want to come today, Lord, and I want to surrender my will to Your will. Can we say, as Jesus said in Gethsemane, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. It's a serious business, this, folks. You know, as we go down life's highway, you're going to have to confront the cross of Calvary. You can't ignore it. You can't get around it, walk around it. You have to come to a place where Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ, stands before you. And you and I have to make that decision. Pontius Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And that you have to answer that question. You have to confront the cross of Calvary. And you've got to make that decision. Am I going to continue to walk in disobedience and ignore the cross? Or am I going to humble myself and recognize that Jesus died that I might have eternal life? Eternal life in Jesus Christ.